Welcome, everyone. It's good to see everyone this morning. Welcome. This is your first time, and it's good to see some visitors and people that haven't been here. Mankind, human beings, are simply amazing. They're just absolutely amazing. And we're going through the Gospel of Luke and looking at snapshots of Jesus, snapshots of his life, his interaction, and out of all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, out of all of the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke is kind of unique in how human the whole thing is. The portrayal of Jesus in the Gospel of John is mystical, it's divine, but if you look at the Gospel of Luke, you see how much of a human being Jesus is. And, you know, at the beginning of his ministry, in Luke, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and he talks about how he's come to release the captive, to set free those who are oppressed, to preach the gospel to the poor. And there's a thought that in this gospel, there's an emphasis on restoring human beings to what they really were in God's eyes. That's his mission, that's the emphasis in the Gospel of Luke, that is clear in this Gospel. And so, before we get into a little picture today, I'd like to go back to Genesis 1:26. And if this verse becomes so common to you, that before I even finish the verse reference, you know exactly what it's about, that's really good. Because this is the first mention of man in the Bible. And when we read this verse, you know, some people think there's a great God up there and men are just kind of worms. And God throws them a little bit of, a little bit of encouragement in his great mercy. Well, we haven't quite seen how incredible a human being is in God's eyes. Look at this. Read together, or you can follow together as I read it. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." I like it. Amazing. Mankind. James, come on up here. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce a man. This is what God said. Let us, the triune Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, let us make man. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. In the Hebrew, it's in our image, according to our likeness. Likeness is kind of like, that word is used in the rest of the Old Testament, in the original Hebrew, when it's like it appears, visual. There's something outward, something visual, likeness. So if you want to know, what does God look like? Likeness. Now, we're not going to worship him. Yeah. But you have to see, this was God's thought. He made a man, a human being, in his according to his likeness. In his image. And if you look at that Hebrew word for image, it's kind of like the internal parts of that man. Internal parts. God has certain feelings, capability of certain feelings. James, can you love?
Yeah.
James, can you get angry?
Sometimes.
Yeah. That's not bad. Be angry, do not sin. That's not a bad thing. You know, it's bad if you're angry and sin. But James, can you be joyful? Yeah.
Pleasure.
All of these internal things are from the tenderest feelings. James, are you courageous sometimes?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes. Valiant. Hero.
Shining armor.
Oh, that's right. Be in your shining armor. Take risks.
Yeah.
Are you creative? Have you ever made up something on your violin?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. The capacity for creativity. All of these things God instilled in a human being, in his image. And the shape, oh my goodness, you just look at the human body. It's amazing. Physical body, inside. I like this. You should wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, say this. You know what I'm going to say? You the man. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Because it's like a piece of art that God made. It's a masterpiece. The human being is a masterpiece. And there's something in God's thought. You know, we think like, sometimes we think, I'm just so small. But God was like, no, you're amazing. In my image. After my likeness. Thank you. You can sit down. Another thing. Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. So that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock, and all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground. When God sees a human being, this is what he should think. This is what he thinks. Oh, that person is in my image. That person is according to my likeness. And that person rules. Rules. So let me ask you a very simple question. Who rules? What's that? Who said that? Well, we do. I mean, of course, Christ is over everything. But who rules? Who has he given rule to? Who has he given dominion to? This man. And you know, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the livestock, wild animals, and all the creatures that move on the ground. And we know in that story, there was one creature. He was a serpent. He was a snake. He came to deceive Adam, deceive Eve. That was Satan. And so in God's thought, this is what a human being should be. Look like God. There's a way that a human being would get angry in a righteous way. There's a way the human being would love. There's a way like God. A way the human being would have joy like God. All of these proper feelings, thoughts, God is creative. The human being is creative. And they also rule. They rule. Human beings rule. Peter, sometimes I feel wonderful.
Praise the Lord.
Sometimes I feel wonderful. And sometimes I don't feel that good. Now, according to this verse, who should rule? Who should be in charge? The way I feel or me?
Should be me.
Sometimes I had a great breakfast. And one time, there was no coffee. I couldn't believe it. No coffee. You know, right now I've drunk in at least one pot of coffee today. And then, sometimes, there's absolutely no coffee. And in that case, you know, it really comes down to who rules? Me? Yeah, or is coffee the ruler? Yeah, oh, Chip says, I am the man. Yeah, thank you, Chip. One time, I asked somebody, would you meet me at 8 o'clock in the morning? And he said, oh no. Oh no. Oh no. Who rules, the pillow or the man? You just think about it. Like, why are marriages strained so many times? Because the person is not ruling. No, a feeling, an ideological expectation is ruling, and it's not the person. What God's dream is, this is God's dream. Wow, this man would have dominion over everything. He would rule over everything, and he would subject his life entirely to God. And then, you know, he just kind of sets man up like that and gives him dominion, gives him authority. You're not ruled by your feelings. You're not ruled by your reasonings. You're not ruled by your dinner. You're not ruled by the weather. You're not ruled by whether you can get up or not. Nothing like that. What are you ruled by? You're ruled by a strong will inside. And then, it's amazing what God did. You know, God set Adam and Eve, He created them in the garden. And there were two trees there in the midst of the garden. One is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The other one is the tree of life. And God put him in the garden to tend it, to keep it, to, you know, work the ground. And he just kind of let man and woman there. And he gave them one command. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But that other tree, the tree of life, you know, God never told them, make sure you eat of the tree of life. Make sure you eat of that tree. Whatever you do, eat of that tree. You know, that tree of life is full of symbolizing. It symbolizes God's life. It symbolizes salvation. Later on, the Lord says, I am the life. The Lord Jesus says, I am the life. He says, I am the true vine. It's like that tree was a picture of life, God's life. And just like they took the tree of knowledge of good and evil, got it into them, and, you know, the whole thing fell. You get the tree of life into you, and what do you have? You have eternal life in you. But God never said to this man, you have to do this. No. This is what he does. I give you my image. I give you my likeness. And I give you dominion so that you're not ruled by any other thing. And what can you do? You can choose me. You can choose me. When I think about this picture, I think God respects me more than I respect me. It doesn't force. Doesn't force. What he does is just gives us dominion and says, you know, you can choose me. Well, it's interesting how messed up people have become. How messed up. And we're going to see a picture here of a person who was very much messed up. And how instead of ruling, instead of having the dominion, actually, so many people, so many times in our lives, so many times in the people around us, their lives, instead of us ruling over the things, they start ruling over us. And that is where Jesus comes to restore. Let me read this little, you can just kind of follow along. This is Luke 8. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him. And though he was chained, hand and foot, and kept under guard. He had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon or demons into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. This man, inhabited by legions of demons, and had certain characteristics of his life, about his life. Now, I believe in demon possession. It's possible. Sometimes we see it in this country. If you go to other countries where they openly worship idols, it's probably more common. People say, you know, how do you get possessed by a demon? Well, kind of, there's a lot of, you know, thoughts on this. You let your will go with some kind of, you know, permission given to an evil kind of thought. Some people say after there are times when lusts are exercised very, very freely, very loosely. And that's a prime kind of setting. Your will is weakened. Demons come in. But this man has gone to a far extent in that experience. And I think what his description entails describes people that are possessed by lesser things. Not quite like a full demon possession, but just possessed by things that are sinful things, other kinds of damage that can be done in your life. Number one, the man had no clothes on. No clothes on. He was exposed, laid naked, bare, no house, restless. If you've ever had no place to go, that's what this man had. No house. Living among the tombs, kind of gravitating towards a something of death. That is where his life was. The demons seized him many times. In other words, he could be, going along in a somewhat, you know, non-intense demon-possessed way. And then all of a sudden, just go, boom, right in. Just seized. Seized. It's kind of like, I might give a lot of internet references because I was just at a conference where there's a lot of internet references. It's kind of like, okay, I'll go online and just go wherever I want. Just go wherever I want. Oh, seized by a fit. He was chained multiple times and guarded by people. And it's like people were around him trying to limit him. Okay, I want to limit you. And you know what he did? He broke the chains. He broke all the limitations. And he just ran away from the people that were trying to help. Ran away from those people trying to limit him because he would cut himself on the stones. So there were people in his life trying to help him, and then he ran away to a solitary place and was alone. Oh, wow. What a description. Number one, I'm ashamed. I have no clothes on. Number two, I have no place to stay. No place. No place to stay. I've burned my bridges. Number three, there's something just gravitating me towards something that kills me. One time, talking to a person. It's like, watch a lot of movies. Just try to watch. Or try to watch like 16 hours of movies a day and then pray. Try. That's right. Or just a lot of, you know, like, don't go to TV to encourage your spiritual life. Okay, just live there in the tombs. Live there in the tombs. And then there are people in his life that were kind of like there. I don't want you to go too far. You know, they guarded him because they cared. They guarded him. I don't want you to cut yourself. I don't want you to do, you know, we're trying to limit you. And you just break the bonds. Get out of my life. I'm alone. I want to go alone. I want to go alone. And what's he do? Sits there alone. And Jesus asked him, you know, what's your name? And he replied, Legion. Because many demons had gotten into him. Sometimes we see people in their lives, they have one problem, and they think, wow, if we get rid of that one problem, that would be it. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then you just realize, that is just like the tip of the iceberg. You wouldn't have that problem if you didn't have this problem, and that 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 problem. And then it's just like homeless, exposed, alone. You don't care about, they don't care about people that help them. They just, like, this is just, oh, wow. It's very interesting. When he comes to Jesus, Jesus kind of arrives and intervenes and interacts with that person. Look at this. This is verse 28. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, don't torture me. Not even a cry for help. Not even a cry for help. Too far gone. Alone. People think, wow, let me work all this out first. Let me work all this out first. Well, I'm so thankful Jesus got into this person's life. I'm so thankful. If you look in the Bible, blind people cry out to Jesus. Other people, you know, at least talk to him. And, you know, if you're lame, you may have friends that lower you down. And, you know, you have some interaction with the Lord. Look at demon-possessed people. They never willingly come to Jesus. It's something about their will. It's just broken. It's broken. And I'm so glad Jesus arrives. And I'm so glad he comes and he intervenes. Friends or people around him tried, put you on shackles. No. I'd rather be alone with my legion of problems. And Jesus intervenes. And if you consider just the contrast between the Genesis 1:26 mankind and where this specimen of mankind is today, or in this story, you just see, wow, how far away from God's original intention. Well, the demons begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. 32. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs. He gave them permission. Very strange. I don't know why. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came out to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right mind. Hallelujah. Dressed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people asked Jesus to come to their homes and to heal them also, and to heal their friends, and to spread the recovery of the human race all over their countryside. Oh, doesn't say that. And all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into a boat and left. They were hog growers, pig growers. And they saw the man whom Jesus had made sane, and who formerly was naked, exposed, had all these problems, and then he could be around people. And he was sitting there in his right mind. In his right mind. And then comes the test, and we'll see a couple tests in these later sections. I mean, the one amazing thing is, wow, Jesus can really change a person's life. Can change a person's life. Wow. That was amazing. Put this person back together and bringing them back to God's original thought for them. And they saw this and said, you know, possibly they saw, you know, I lost a lot of money. I had stock in that hog farm. Now what happens? Well, sure, the man is better, but what about the hogs? What about them? I don't want more disruptions in my life. Jesus, can you please go? Jesus, can you please go? They were afraid. And the man, from whom the demons had gone out, begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return home. Tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. I really like, I mean, I think that picture of the people that asked Jesus to go away is just telling. You know, as a church, we have a lot of people coming through. And when people come through, problems come through. And there's just a lot of reactions to those problems. That picture is really telling about how interested Jesus is in, I just want to release people, bring them back to that thing. That is what Jesus is doing. That is a marvelous picture. And I'm amazed at how much happened in this man. And the one thing that amazes me the most is that man had a true gratitude to Jesus. A true gratitude. A true gratitude. Sometimes that is almost like one of the hardest things to develop, a true gratitude. A true gratitude. It's almost like you don't just see a man who was, you know, made sane, clothed, and it's like, okay, Jesus, thanks, Jesus. That was really good. Let me go back to my life. You know? It was nothing like that. It's like he touched the Lord, and there was a There was a real feeling. Oh, Lord, I really owe you something. I really owe you. You know, I'd like to just follow you. What a picture of a humanity that was developed in this man through the touch of the Lord Jesus. This kind of appreciation, almost indebtedness, gratitude, is a really, really healthy thing. It's a really healthy thing. It's like Jesus came and had such a change, and then the response is, oh, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to give my life to you. I want to give my life to you. I think it's healthy for growth as a Christian and towards Christ, the gratitude. And I also think it's really healthy for your growth in the church. In the church. You know, I got this email one time. I spent a lot of time with this person. I spent a lot of time with this person. And then, you know, Lord is the Lord, so just, I got this email, and this person said this: you know, Rex, we spent 5 years together, probably 5 years together, and then he says, like, I am not sure if the Lord still wants me to be here, so I'm following him, and I just want to let you know that, so I'm not going to, you know, be around you for this time. And on the one hand, I was like, you know, I think it's good to follow the Lord. But then on the other hand, I just wondered, and is this too depressing? Anyway, I don't know. No, okay. I just wondered, in the best way, where's the gratitude? Not the gratitude in a, like, I don't expect people to, like, okay, toward the church, like, oh, I just get, you know, whatever. You know, I'm so thankful. But, like, I'm not hired. I'm not hired. James, have you paid me? No. I'm not hired. And there's kind of a thought of, like, you know, you can hire a psychiatrist. And you talk to them, or you can hire a counselor. You can talk to them. But you can't, or you shouldn't, hire a church. No. And then, you know, one time I went to this church where I was knocking on doors. And then I talked to this woman, and the next day the congregation was voting their pastor out. And so she told me, yep, he didn't bring in the money, and he didn't bring in the people. And then it's like, so we're voting him out. And, you know, there are all kinds of relationships, all kinds of relationships. But what this man had, it wasn't like, thank you, Jesus, I'll give you $50 and I'm on my way. No, it's like, Jesus, you did this. And then I want to follow you. I want to follow you. So I get this email, and I was going to email back. I was like, what if I was your wife? You know. Oh, yeah, had a great 5 years. Appreciate it. But I'm not quite sure whether the Lord wants me here or not. Let me tell you, if you're married, don't go down that road. No. Don't go down that road. And then also, in terms of Christian, you know, and then whenever, I was really debating whether I should say this, because I don't want a guilt trip. It's not a guilt trip. But in the church, it's not about this kind of like, okay, we like this, so we will give this. No. It's about, there's a real feeling of need. There's a real feeling of mutual need. And this, that's the right human response. It's the right human response. And this person You know, I've seen people like this. I've seen people like, you know, you help them. They're really beat up, and you help them. And the next thing they say is, what else are you going to do? What else? In other words, it didn't get to the core. It didn't get to the core. And then there were people like that with Jesus also. You know, healed them, and then only one came back and thanked. You know, so it's not a new phenomena. But it's kind of like a phenomena of, like, can the Lord Jesus make, or has the Lord Jesus made this kind of proper humanity, instilled this proper humanity of, oh, I thank you, I owe you, I'm in this more than I hired him. I hired him. No. If the Christian life is based on the money relationship, oh, it's so so tenuous. So tenuous. I like it. He says this. The man whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But then he took Jesus' word. Just took it. Return home. Tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. What a marvelous picture. What a marvelous picture. This man is like the full thought of what God intended man to be, mankind to be. He touches Jesus. Jesus heals. Jesus delivers. Jesus takes the legions out and, you know, maybe just destroys a lot of other things that are around him that are just confusing. All these things in the world are just all kinds of confusing. And then the man comes up, Lord, I want to go with you. And the Lord says, no, don't go with me. You can be much more useful. Go back and tell people. And his whole function was really restored. His person, his humanity was restored. You know, the Son had such an appreciation of the Father and followed the Father and submitted to him and appreciated his desire, his will. And this man exhibited the exact same thing. Exact same thing. I like the kind of real kind of height that the Lord Jesus took this man. And he charged him. After that indebtedness, that gratitude was there, go, tell everything that happened to you. And what a testimony of the Lord that would be. The man would say, you know, right now, I'm not just happy that Jesus did this to me. I'm not just happy that Jesus healed me. But I am so thankful to him. I want to give my whole life to him. What a marvelous testimony of the Lord. I'll stop there and we can just have some prayer.